The conference finals for the NBA playoffs are almost set, but the battling on the court is being matched by the battling over the NBA collective bargaining agreement with the players. Sports writer Stefan Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal joins us most Fridays to talk about sports and the business of sports. Stefan, let's start with the lay of the land. What's going on the court?
Well, three of the four semifinalists are all set. The Miami Heat will play the Detroit Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals beginning on Monday. Out in the West, the San Antonio Spurs will play either the Dallas Mavericks or the Phoenix Suns. They play Game 6 of their best-of-seven series tonight.
Big news here, no big markets.
No big markets, and there won't be any big markets in the finals, and that's going to push down TV ratings it already has, but very compelling basketball for people who have been watching. The Pistons and the Heat play a much more physical, grinding, lower-scoring version of the game, the half-court game, as it's called. Out West, the finalists are going to be playing a fast-paced, higher-scoring, more fluid and better shooting game with more international players, including the league's MVP, Steve Nash, who's from Canada.
We should note an important milestone in the NBA. Last night, Reggie Miller played his last game with the Indiana Pacers.
He scored 27 points. The Pacers were eliminated by the Pistons. Miller's retiring after 18 seasons. He's the 12th leading scorer in NBA history. It was really a very moving tribute to him at the end of the game. First, Indiana's coach Rick Carlisle called a timeout with 16 seconds to go so fans could serenade Miller. Then Detroit's coach Larry Brown, who coached Miller for a couple of seasons, he called a timeout so the tribute could continue. Everyone was on the court hugging Miller and applauding.
And what exactly did they sing to Reggie Miller?
The usual, Reggie, Reggie, Reggie.
All that love and happiness, and to think that these were the same two teams that staged that horrible brawl early in the season.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about how the NBA had turned thuggish and that it wouldn't recover from the brawl. I think what happened last night and what's happened so far in these playoffs demonstrates how pro athletes can rise above the media noise and focus on the game after what was an awful but aberrant event. Really, this, I think, was one of the NBA's finer moments after one of its worst. The league and these teams deserve a lot of credit.
Now, Stefan, let's leave the court if we could and head to the boardroom. NBA officials this week suspended negotiations with the players on a new labor agreement.
Right. The league says that the union backed off of agreements on some key points, including a new maximum 5 years for contracts, down from 7, and the amount of raises that would be in those contracts, and a minimum age for players, which has been a big topic of discussion. The league says the union had agreed to a 20-year age minimum and then lowered it now to 19. In exchange for all of these changes, the league had agreed to increase the amount of revenue dedicated to the players. All of this happened after a meeting between the union and a group of powerful agents. This all could be part of the bargaining process. The union says it never agreed to anything and it ran the numbers on the contract proposals and they didn't work out. Or this really could be a sign that a lockout is looming when the current labor deal expires on June 30th.
Now, I can't let you go without touching on the steroids hearing on Capitol Hill. Quite extraordinary this week.
Yes, these seem to be happening more frequently than NBA playoff games. There were several hearings this week. One included a lot of talk about the Wizinator, a device designed to help people pass drug tests that was found recently in the possession of a National Football League player. The NBA took the toughest tongue lashing for its drug policy. Major League Baseball suddenly was a favorite of the congressman, and that was after Commissioner Bud Selig proposed a 50-game, 100-game, lifetime ban, three-strikes-you're-out policy for steroid users. But the main headline is that legislators are preparing bills to standardize testing procedures and penalties for pro sports. The leagues generally want to leave this up to collective bargaining, but the feds are threatening a 2-year ban for first offenders. That's seen as harsh. NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue yesterday pointed out that 2 years would equal half the average career of an NFL player.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thanks, Michelle.
Stefan Fatsis covers sports and the business of sports for The Wall Street Journal.